right, that brings us to number five, which is comments from the administration and council. This is regarding an adjournment of any matters on this agenda. Do I see any from council or administration? Okay, seeing none, that'll bring us to number six, which is open to the public, and that is for comments regarding item number 14, which are the consent agenda items. So if anyone has a comment with regard to item number 14, please come up to the podium. Note that you have 3 minutes in which to speak, and please state your name and address.
Hi, my name is Afshin Chomsky. I'm a resident of Princeton. I'm here tonight in my capacity as a concerned citizen and an ACLU New Jersey board member. Good evening, Mayor Waller, Council President Cahill, and members of the Piscataway Township Council. I want to thank you for your unanimous support of the resolution that calls on our elected officials at every level to reunify migrant families, end migrant detention, defund immigration enforcement, and allows families to go through immigration proceedings with legal representation. As you know, I've been leading an effort to get cities and townships across New Jersey to pass this resolution, and as I mentioned before, we plan to disseminate it nationally as well in the near future. I'm truly grateful to you for your courage and leadership for being among the first in the nation to pass the resolution. Piscataway will be the fourth township and the seventh municipality in the nation to call on our elected officials to stand up for justice for our immigrant brothers, sisters, and children. The truth is that for a long time, as I watched the situation at our borders, in our detention centers, and in the interior of the country unfold, I could not understand why we as a society were not in an uproar over the inhumane treatment of migrants in our country. I really felt that we collectively as a society needed to raise our voice against this injustice, and to be silent or do nothing was to be complicit. And it is that belief that led me to draft the resolution. I want to acknowledge Farron Anello from ACLU New Jersey and Adil Ahmed from Lake the Road, New Jersey, who provided expert input on the resolution. And I want to acknowledge all my incredible fellow advocates for justice who have joined this movement along the way. Tonight in particular, I'm thinking about James Dabrowski of Woodbridge, who's been advocating to get the resolution on the council's agenda for the last several months. And at tonight's council meeting, James, along with his team of advocates for justice, will be speaking in support of the resolution while a hate group in town is protesting it, also at the council meeting. James, his wife Keisha, and everyone joining them tonight are my heroes, as they're willing to stand up for justice when they're truly confronted with hatred and bigotry. Having had so many varied experiences with the resolution in so many different towns and cities, I take nothing for granted, and I'm truly grateful to you for your leadership and moral courage to stand up for what is right and just. Thank you for your unanimous support of the resolution. Thank you for standing up for justice. Thank you for giving a voice to the voiceless. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing it to us. Anyone else in the public wishing to speak with regard to item number 14 may do so at this time. Please note that you have 3 minutes in which to speak, and you must state your name and address.
Good evening, I'm Michelle Kahn from Old Ridge, New Jersey, and I just wanted to thank you all for supporting the resolution. I'm starting to have hope that families like mine could be reunited, that children at the border don't have to suffer anymore, hopefully. You have all empowered me to keep advocating in regards to immigration issues and stay strong through this, and it's also been a great way for me to heal after suffering with family separation. Thank you all again for your time and your consideration.
Thank you.
Good evening, Doreen Wilson Bailey, 74 Lincoln Avenue. My questions are relative to item M, the resolution designating Duke Realty New Brunswick Urban Renewal LLC as redeveloper and authorizing execution of redevelopment agreement. My understanding is this will enable yet another warehouse to be built in the area of Ward 2 across from Luke Oil. So that lends itself to many why questions that I have. The first one is, why are you turning this township into an industrial park? Living near or alongside of huge warehouses are certainly to negatively affect our property values. I didn't move 34 years ago to live in an industrial park. Why are you subjecting this community to the traffic and noise caused by hundreds of more trucks that will be rolling through and along this community when that was the reason they were diverted from River Road? So why can't the residents of Ward 2 have the same benefit of quiet and safe streets that you allowed the residents of River Road? My other why is, why aren't you open and honest with the people of Piscataway? I spoke to many residents and they had no idea this was happening. That area was not exclusively zoned for industrial. Why another warehouse? This will be what, the third or fourth warehouse with over 120 bays? Hundreds of trucks, hundreds. And lastly, why are you playing Russian roulette with our families, with our lives? Do you know that there are 40 different toxic compounds found in diesel fumes? 40, that's 40. And it's a proven fact that diesel exhaust fumes can and do cause cancer. So we have trucks barreling down Hose Lane, and we have kids playing outside in our new community center. We have Rivendell apartments, hundreds of people living there, and the backyards of people in that ward who will not only be subject to the noise, they'll be subject to the fumes. I have two grandchildren, and both of them have asthma. I have a cough, and I've had it for a while, and I've had so many medical workups, and they can't seem to tell me what triggers it. Maybe it's the air, because the American Lung Society gives Piscataway a grade F. And I'll leave with this. My children grew up in Piscataway, two boys and a girl. My young man, died of cancer, of a malignant tumor in his chest, and the best doctors in the world, Johns Hopkins and many others, cannot tell me what triggered it.
Greg White, 607 Ellis Parkway. I'd like to follow up on Doreen's comments. Just a little bit of science. Diesel fumes are full of nitrous oxide. Nitrous oxide leads to ozone formation in the ground level area. Now, I know many years ago we solved the ozone hole. There's a right place and a wrong place for ozone. The right place is in the stratosphere, far away from us. The wrong place is down at ground level. That's what causes the difficulty in breathing. If you continue to have warehouses built in this town, you are increasing the likelihood of COPD, cancer, asthma, emphysema, and those have societal effects. I'm asking you to internalize the externalities. There are costs. I think all of you would agree that medical costs in this country are too high, and we could be improving our air quality, and that would be something you would be doing for all of the residents of Piscataway today. But instead, you're worsening the situation. Now, Doreen mentioned more warehouses. I happen to know there are at least 8 warehouses that have been built, 5 on River Road, 3 over here on Centennial, and I'm sure there's more. You keep approving them, and you're making this town an undesirable place to live. Just remember, there are medical costs associated with all of the bad air quality. Thank you for your information. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Anyone else in the public wish to speak may do so at this time.
Hi, Kiana Butler, 44 Lincoln Avenue. Mayor Waller, you visited my church, the Well Church, this past Sunday. You were there to talk to the congregation about the census. I think educating people about the census is great, and we should all be knowledgeable about it. Like you said, we should all be counted. However, I just knew you weren't there to solely speak about the census. It's election time. Instead, you use your time to fabricate what is really happening in Piscataway. You asked the congregation if you've been keeping up on the town's Facebook account in regards to the community center. You doted about all the lovely attractions that it will have. Golf simulators, pools, indoor track, just to name a few. All of that is great. You even joked about burning calories with Zumba and Pilates and then putting them back on by visiting the pizza oven that will be featured in the cafeteria. It seems that health isn't a priority with this administration. You gave pushback about the Clean Air Act, but instead you promote the acceptance of more diesel trucks in the neighborhoods. Piscataway already has a great F with the American Lung Association. You then went to ask everyone how the new roads in the neighborhood were. You thanked us for our patience with the construction and stated that this was the tail end of a 10-year project that would be completed by 2024. After that, you mentioned that you were working on renting out and renovating all of the abandoned or contaminated industrial sites. If so, why is Duke Realty, who is the nation's largest investment developer for warehouses, building an old New Brunswick road and bringing in over 100 loading docks for diesel trucks? You brag that you're able to keep taxes low and that these corporations are picking up the freight and paying the taxes to pay for things like the community center. But what you failed to say was that these are pilots in which these corporations are paying large sums of money that go straight to the municipality and depriving our schools of the necessary funding. But let's go back to you saying that these corporations pay for the community center. What happened to all the residents who donated their money decades ago? I think they deserve a refund or at least free membership. You stated that you've been mayor for 20 years and that you've been through three recessions. You said you've seen the heartaches of parents who can't pay for things. Will these same parents you speak of be able to afford the membership fees of the community center? Yet again, the cost of the membership has yet to be disclosed. You said Piscataway is typically known for IT, pharmaceuticals, food distribution, or cosmetics, but now we are known for logistics centers. No, we are beginning to be known for the town with horrible traffic and warehouses everywhere.
That's right.
Which isn't very desirable. Once again, you bragged about being in Money Magazine as one of the best places to live and even encouraged the members of the congregation to move to Piscataway. I love Piscataway. Lastly, you thanked the congregation for putting up with you and your council through the good and the bad times. You said that you will always be here for us. You even lied and said that you're always around and that you don't have a life. You said you have a wife, three kids, and four dogs, and that you never go on vacation. You said you only go from your house to town hall, which is only blocks away.
Your 3 minutes are up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
John Toronto, 515 Longfellow Avenue. With regard to the construction on Old New Brunswick Road, I mean, I know these people are putting some very good arguments. They'll probably be ignored. But so if this project does go through, I'd like to suggest two changes to the proposal. One is that the Green Arrow coming off South Randolphville Road, that's very dangerous right there. I'd like to see that removed and actually made a no right turn on red. Because there's traffic, you've got less than 500 feet to the next traffic light, and really you have less than 250 feet to switch lanes.
It's gonna be redone.
Well, I understand it's going to be, you're going to be able to go straight, but
what you're asking for is going to be redone and it's going to be paid for by the developers that are on that corner. It's going to be, I understand the problem, it's going to, but that is going to be correct.
Okay, that was my one suggestion. The other suggestion was, so with the Avalon Apartments, and I've tried to do this, is it'd be nice to have a bike path or some type of sidewalk over that bridge right there on Old New Brunswick Road, coming down to Luke Oil and out through the warehouse, because it's very difficult for bikers, either bikers who take the dirt path, it's very bumpy and there's brush that keeps hitting you in the head, and or riding on the street, which you're really taking your life in your hands by driving on the street, taking a bike on the street there. So I wish there was something that could be done to have some type of bike path so that kids from Avalon and other areas can take their bike to the high school, they can take their bike to the community center, and other places. And then have that continue down past the warehouses.
Thank you.
Anthony Weil, 2250 Plainfield Avenue North, and I spoke to you guys about the warehouse you built next to my house. And I'm sure you were thinking it was NIMBY, not in my backyard. But this is across Piscataway. Terrible air. And I mean, more and more studies showing the particulates in diesel fumes can get into your heart, can get into virtually every organ in your body. And why we would just continue to add more and more warehouses is beyond me. If you actually care about the health of, particularly of children and elderly, it just does not seem that this is the best interest of the people of Piscataway. And it really befuddles me that this is a tack you want to take.
Thank you.
Herb Tardens, 411 Newmarket Road. Given the folks on his body purportedly represent the people of Piscataway, I'm dismayed to hear of yet another proposed facility which will increase the demand for fossil fuels and therefore increase the demand for fossil fuel infrastructure. Taking any action which will increase the demand for fossil fuels is a folly of planetary proportions, and it's irrespective of any financial arguments to the contrary. The negative secondary and following effects must be considered, and I believe they outweigh any financial benefits which themselves are questionable. What will be the effect on air quality? What will be the effect on property values when another distribution facility is situated just a few hundred yards from a middle school? Why are these construction projects being treated differently than the open space at Halper Farm? Why was that supposedly kept as open space while the owners of other properties are being allowed to construct traffic-clogging, air-polluting facilities? The great constitutional paradigm of this country is that the power is vested in the people. Unfortunately, here in New Jersey, the people have been stripped of their power by a very corrupt political machine and its enablers. The use of organization lines in primary elections is something which has been shown to be biased and therefore undemocratic. It is only supported by those who are either part of or closely connected to the corrupt political machine, and it causes me to question whether any elected official in this room is actually duly elected or not. No, thank you. No, thank you, Steve.
Okay. Good evening, Stacy Berger, Ellis Parkway. I'm sorry?
My colleague. You can make your speech now and not answer questions. Okay.
Don't presume to know what I'm going to do or what I will do. If you want to ask me a question, speak, by all means, feel free.
Misogyny.
I know, every time.
Oh, Jesus.
Every single time. So, first of all, I want to congratulate Afshin and Michelle and the folks at the ACLU for getting the resolution on the agenda. We were really happy to be able to support that. Congratulations. Many of us came here in September of 2017 and asked you all to adopt something similar and encouraged you to join the many other communities around New Jersey that were taking part in the sanctuary communities and fair and welcoming communities requirement. We still haven't done that, so we welcome you to join the rest of the state of New Jersey in doing that at your very earliest convenience. It's great to pass a resolution to support reuniting migrant families. It's also incumbent on us to help make sure that we don't have families that are separated in our own facilities here in New Jersey. And so we wait with bated breath for you all to take some action here in our own community that can do that. And we're happy to provide you copies of resolutions to that effect. But we do applaud you for doing what you did today because it's very important, and it's good that people who don't necessarily agree on everything can agree on some basic things, like children should come along in cages and we should return our families and restore restore them to their communities. But we would like to see you take some actual leadership on the other remaining issues that are out there. Second, on the designation of Duke Realty as an urban renewal department and the creation of another warehouse, it's beyond me that this is the only place we can have this conversation, that you actually have an environmental commission that you refuse to convene, that you do not have members
that anybody in the public can contact. I filed an Open Public Records Act request. All the contact information for the members of the commission was blacked out, which seems like a pretty darn solid signal that you don't actually want the public to be in touch with the people who theoretically are appointed. And I don't understand why you wouldn't want to have, instead of having this adversarial thing that you seem to really loathe, that you wouldn't want to have an environmental commission where we could have the kind of conversations that Doreen and Kiana and Herb and Fred have raised. Is there a reason that you refuse to name and hold the environmental commission meetings? Can you do it? Can you commit to making that happen? Don't everybody jump at once. I mean, this is your purview. You have the right to do that. Why wouldn't you want to do that, Councilman Butler? Why would you not want to have an environmental commission that can vet these kinds of developments in addition to the zoning and planning board, where you can talk about the impact on our health and well-being? My two sons both have had asthma. I don't want to see anyone else's child have asthma. I certainly don't think our seniors want to have lower air quality. It's up to you to do that. On the one hand, we adopted the Clean Air Ordinance, which none of you campaigned for, but you all tried to take credit for, which is going to improve our air quality. And on the other hand, you're building warehouses on every last inch of open space and taking down trees wherever you can. So it's really unfortunate that you won't, that you all look away and stare at your phones, but you won't actually do the things that people elected you to do, which is to have a democratic, open process. Rezoned? Yeah, it was set. I believe that it was set up to be part of your affordable housing plan, which you still have to do somewhere. So, and the more, and it's really interesting that you say that, because the more warehouse jobs that you bring in, the more you increase the community's responsibility for a fair share obligation. So you're not moving that somewhere off the books.
So you prefer 600 units there as opposed to a warehouse?
That's not. Do you not know how the fair housing obligation works? That's not how that works.
You're not answering my question.
I'm not, because your question makes no sense. That's like saying, would I rather have ice cream or French fries?
You're here.
I want them both.
You're here to tell us that you
were. By all means,
change from its current use of 600 units to be built to a warehouse. You're opposed to that. So I'm asking you.
I'm opposed to the warehouse being built. You signed an agreement with the court of Middlesex. I am answering the question. You all signed an agreement with the court, and as far as I know, another organization called Fair Share Housing Center, which I do not work for, although you will tell people that I do, because you lie about things. That agreement, which was approved by Middlesex County, said you have to build those homes somewhere in Piscataway. So I don't know where you're going to build them if you're not going to build them there, but under that decree that the mayor signed and you all adopted, you still have to do that.
Right.
So where are you going to build those homes?
Because of efforts of folks like you. But my question is simply,
because I believe people should have a place to live. Well, I'm asking you a question. Do you think that people should have a place to live, or should they live in their cars?
He brought it up, Council President. He asked me a question.
I'm answering it.
You can answer the question.
I did answer the question. I would like those houses to be built and the warehouse to not be built.
Another person didn't want to answer your question.
I answered your question. You have another question?
Ms. Berger, let's let Mr. Irwin have his turn. Thank you.
No problem.
That's tough. I don't know how we can get into more Q&A. Good evening, Bill Irwin, 233 Ellis Parkway.
You can answer my one question that nobody wants to answer.
God.
Direct answer to my question. You want 600 housing units there?
You have to build
those
units.
Is my question.
Are the 600 housing units going to be built somewhere anyway? Yes or no?
I don't know the answer.
Yes,
you should know that answer to that question, because it's part of the affordable housing plan.
Excuse me, Council President, can we move this along?
We're
in compliance.
By submitting that plan, you were in compliance. But that plan calls for the construction of 1,000 affordable housing units. Does it not? It does.
Off topic. Go ahead.
What I wanted to say was I wanted to thank the council for their item number KK, the resolution in support of my good family. I wanted to thank the council for adopting that resolution and taking the opportunity to take leadership on that important issue. I think it represents a very good step, and I would hope that that resolution, if we have a moment, we're all here, if we could read that into the minutes. I think it's a good resolution and it deserves to be heard. Regarding the latest whereas proposal that's being discussed tonight, I mean, let's face it, whereases are not particularly popular. For sure, nobody wants one in their backyard, but beyond that, most people don't want a town full of them either. Now, one could argue that in a large town like Piscataway, which has a mix of commercial and residential ratables, that having a couple of warehouses in the mix is not unreasonable, provided they were consciously located to minimize impact to residential areas. But that's not really what we're talking about here. The concerns that are being raised tonight is that the past few years have seen a proliferation of warehouses in Piscataway with no end in sight and no clear indication that their proximity to residential neighborhoods is being taken into account. If there have been overall health and environmental impact studies conducted, we haven't been made aware of the methodology or the results of those studies. And with the prospect of another 120 bays coming in, I know there's been some heated back and forth, but it's quite reasonable to ask, when is enough enough? Where does it stop? Or is the future to have, you know, every parcel for development or redevelopment become another one of these distribution centers? Now, as elected officials, you do have considerable say in what type of development takes place. You could be opposed to more warehouse development and zone accordingly. You could be neutral on the issue and just say, well, it's currently zoned commercial, so they're allowed to build what they want. Or you could actively encourage the building of warehouses, which is what you're currently doing every time tax breaks are given to the developers in the form of pilot agreements, which have often been accompanying these developments. Now, time doesn't permit us to get into the particulars of pilot agreements tonight, but they do starve the school district of funds. They do represent part of a race to the bottom, like the fiasco we saw with Amazon, everybody falling all over themselves to have Amazon not pay taxes. And in the end, they deprive the overall public treasury of needed property taxes. And by their use, you're consciously and actively promoting this kind of warehouse development, and you should stop.
Good evening, Council. Good evening, Mayor. I guess this is beat up on the Mayor Day. But Mayor, I'm not here for that. I am here to encourage our council and to say that we applaud the mayor, we applaud the council. In Piscataway, there are thousands of people that I meet and that say that they are very proud to live in this town. I know that there are naysayers here tonight, and I know that they are here for an agenda. I'm not here for that. I did receive a letter last week by one of our committee people, and I did receive a letter by our chair and vice chair. That's the letter that I respect, because respect begets respect. And that if you're gonna come here and attack our leadership, I just don't feel that this is the forum for it. However, I am here to applaud you, and there are thousands of others that do so too. Again, my name is Gina Alexander. I live at 115 Anita Drive in Piscataway, New Jersey. Thank you.
Here, here.
What is the forum if you're not supposed to?
Number seven, which is a proclamation, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Omega Mu Zeta, chapter centennial anniversary.
Sorry, you need to keep it down, right?
Whereas Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Inc. was founded at Howard University on January 16, 1920, and whereas the five founders of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Inc. envisioned a sorority which would directly affect positive change, chart a course of action for the 1920s and beyond, raise consciousness of their people, encourage the highest standards of scholastic achievement, and foster a greater sense of unity among its members, and whereas Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Inc. promotes social action in many venues, such as Get Engaged program, to address the underlying issues in our communities, drive individual and community engagement, empower citizens to get involved, and cultivate a culture of mutual respect in our communities, And whereas beyond the United States, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Inc. has chapters in several countries and was the first Greek letter organization to charter a chapter in Africa with the December 1948 creation of a graduate chapter in Monrovia, Liberia. And whereas notable members include Congresswoman Julia Carson of Indiana and Donna Edwards of Maryland, Rear Admiral Evelyn J. Field, author Zora Neale Hurston, Grammy Award recipient Sarah Braun, law professor Anita Hill, and Olympic medalists Lily Leatherwood. And whereas its Omega Mu Zeta chapter has several dozen members who live in Middlesex County, including a robust number of Piscataway residents, and whereas the chapter has contributed mightily to the well-being of Central New Jersey through its philanthropic and community service endeavors that include the awarding of scholarships to local students and participation in March of Dimes and American Cancer Society events, now there be it resolved, Brian C. Waller, Mayor of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, proclaims and extols the virtues of the Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Inc.
Wonderful. That'll bring us to number 8, which is an ordinance on second reading, provide for the construction of local improvement sidewalk Centennial Avenue frontage, block 495.5, lot 1.02, 1306 Centennial Avenue and Hose Lane frontage, block 6003, lot 12.01, 377 Hose Lane. This is open to the public and it will be a resolution adopting ordinance. Ms. Cedar, would you please read the resolution?
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance to Provide for the Construction of Local Improvement Sidewalks on the Centennial Avenue frontage of Block 495.5, Lot 1.02 of the Township of Piscataway Tax Map, commonly known as 1306 Centennial Avenue, and along the Hose Lane frontage of Block 6003, Lot 12.01, of the Township of Piscataway Tax Map, commonly known as 377 Hose Lane, Piscataway, as permitted under NJSA 40:65-1, was introduced on the 28th day of January 2020. And it passed the first reading and was published on the 31st day of January 2020. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the aforesaid ordinance, having had a second reading on February 18th, 2020, be adopted, passed, and after passage, be published together with a notice of the date of passage or approval in the official newspaper. Be it further resolved that this ordinance shall be assigned number 2020-03.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. And this is open to the public. If anyone wishes to comment with regard to this ordinance, may do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close that public portion. Do I have an offer? Okay, I have an offer and a second. Ms. Cedar, would you please take the roll call?
Councilman Bullard?
Yes.
Councilman Kahn?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Councilman Irwin?
Yes.
Council President Cahill.
Yes, and that ordinance passes on second reading, and that'll bring us to number 9, which is an ordinance on second reading to provide for the construction of local improvement sidewalks. This is South Avenue frontage, block 1101, lots 2.02 and 5, block 1102, lots 43.01 and 51.01, and block 1103, lot 3201, 725 South Avenue, 727 South Avenue, 711 South Avenue, 28 Howard Street, and 171 Levgar Street. This is also open to the public, and it is a resolution adopting ordinance. Ms. Cedar, would you please read the resolution?
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled, Ordinance to Provide for the Construction of Local Improvement Sidewalks on the South Avenue frontage of block 1101, lots 2.02 and 5, block 1102, lots 43.01 and 51.01, and block 1103, lot 32.01 of the Township of Piscataway tax map, commonly known as 725, 727, 711 South Avenue, 28 Howard Street, and 171 Levgar Street, Piscataway, as permitted under NJSA 40:65-1, was introduced on the 28th day of January 2020, and it passed the first reading and was published on the 31st day of January 2020. Now therefore be it resolved that the aforesaid ordinance, having had a second reading on February 18th, 2020, be adopted, passed, and after passage, be published together with the notice of the date of passage or approval in the official newspaper. Be it further resolved that this ordinance shall be assigned number 2020-04.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. Is there anyone in the public wishing to comment with regard to this ordinance? Seeing none, I'll close that public portion. Do I have an offer?
Offer. Second.
An offer and a second. Ms. Cedar, would you please take the roll call?
Councilman Bullard?
Yes.
Councilman Kahn?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Councilman Aaron?
Yes.
Council President Cahill?
Yes, and the ordinance passes on first reading. And that'll bring us to number 10, which is an ordinance on first reading. This is an ordinance authorizing the execution of financial agreement with Duke Realty New Brunswick Urban Renewal, LLC, a resolution adopting ordinance. Ms. Cedar, would you please read the ordinance?
Be resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, New Jersey, authorizing the execution of a financial agreement by and between the Township and Piscataway and Duke Realty New Brunswick Urban Renewal LLC, being is hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Rose Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, on the 10th day of March 2020. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least 2 public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. Do I have an offer?
Offer.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Cedar, would you please take the roll call?
Councilman Bullard?
Yes.
Councilman Kahn?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Councilman Aaron?
Yes.
Council President Cahill?
Yes, and the ordinance passes on first reading. And that'll bring us to number 11, which is an ordinance on first reading, amending Chapter 17, Property Maintenance, Dumpsters, and Containers. It is a resolution adopting ordinance. Ms. Cedar, would you please read the resolution?
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled, Ordinance to Amend the Revised General Ordinances of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, amending Chapter 17, Property Maintenance, be and is hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hoos Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, on the 10th day of March 2020. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least 2 public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. Do I have an offer? Do I have a second?
Second.
Nacita, would you please take the roll call vote?
Councilman Buller?
Yes.
Councilman Khan? Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Councilman Earn?
Yes.
Council President Cahill?
Yes, and the ordinance passes on first reading. That'll bring us to number 12, which is an ordinance on first reading, amending the fee ordinance, Chapter 12, Parks and Recreation. It's a resolution adopting ordinance. Ms. Yu, would you please read the resolution?
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled ordinance to amend and supplement the revised general ordinances of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, amending Chapter 12, Parks and Recreation, Section 4.1, Fees and Charges, be as hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hose Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, on the 10th day of March 2020. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. Do I have an offer?
Offer.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Cedar, would you please take the roll call vote?
Councilman Buller?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Councilman Earn?
Yes.
Council President Cahill?
Yes, and the ordinance passes on first reading. That'll bring us to number 13, which is an ordinance on first reading, authorizing the sale of a portion of Block 4501, Lot 1.02, to a contiguous property owner. It is a resolution adopting ordinance. Ms. C, would you please read the resolution?
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled, an ordinance of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, authorizing the sale of certain lands owned by the Township of Piscataway, pursuant to NJSA 40A:12-13, being is hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hose Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, on the 10th day of March 2020. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. Do I have an offer?
Offer.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Cedar, would you please take the roll call vote?
Councilman Buller?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Councilman Earn?
Yes.
Council President Cahill?
Yes, and the ordinance passes on first reading, and that'll bring us to number 14. For efficiency, items have been consolidated into a consent agenda to be voted on together. The materials for these items have been distributed to the council in advance of the meeting. At this time, are there any items that the council would like removed from the consent agenda to be discussed or voted on separately? Okay, seeing none. Do I have an offer?
Offer.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Cedar, would you please take the roll call?
Councilman Buller?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Councilman Earn?
Yes.
Council President Cahill?
Yes, and the consent agenda items pass. So that will bring us to number 15, which are announcements and comments from officials. Councilman Buller?
I'm not here at this time. Thank you.
Councilman Khan? And I have none at this time. Actually, you know what? I just want to say one thing. I'm not sure, there was somebody in the audience who was commenting about the fees for the recreation center, and we just voted on tonight to on a first reading for those, so they should be published by the end of this week. Also to I think most people may now know that the YMCA will be the management company for the commission's separate. All right, so that will bring us to number 16, which is the agenda session for the March 10th, 2020 meeting. First item is the ordinance on second reading authorizing an execution of financial agreement with Duke Realty New Brunswick Urban Renewal, LLC, open to the public, and it'll be a resolution adopting ordinance. Are there any comments or concerns with regarding that item? And then that will be on. The next item will be an ordinance on second reading amending Chapter 17, property maintenance, dumpsters, containers. It will also be open to the public at that time. Any comments or questions? And then that will be on. The next one will be an ordinance on second reading amending Fee Ordinance Chapter 12, Parks and Recreation, which will also be open to the public, and it will be a resolution adopting ordinance. Any comments or questions with regard to that? Seeing none, the next item will be an ordinance on first reading amending chapters 7 through 14, parking prohibited at all times on certain streets, and it will be a resolution adopting ordinance. So are there any comments or questions from council?
Yeah, I have one quick question on that one. I did read it was on South 2nd Street. Are there any other streets that are listed in that one? Because it says certain streets.
All right, anyone else on that item? Okay, seeing none, that will be on there. That then will bring us to an ordinance on second reading authorizing the sale of a portion of Block 4501, Lot 1.02, to a contiguous property owner. It will also be open to the public at that time. Are there any comments or questions with regard to that item? Seeing none, that will be on. The next item will be a resolution authorizing award of bid, Linwood and Crestwood Streets Improvements. It will be a bid opening February 27, 2020. Any comments or questions with regard to that? Seeing none, that will be on. That'll just be added to the list of all the streets that we have for 2020 that we've posted up. Great. Okay. The next item will be a resolution authorizing award bid, rebid Johnson Avenue Drainage Improvements, bid opening February 27, 2020. Any comments or questions about that? Seeing none, that will be on. Next will be an item, a resolution authorizing award bid, vegetative debris removal for public properties, M&A Tree Service, Inc., not to exceed $415,000. Any comments or questions with regard to that? Okay, seeing none, that will be on. And that'll bring us to number 17. Anyone in the public wishing to comment may do so at this time. Please come to the podium, state your name and address, and note that you have 3 minutes in which to speak.
Bill Irwin, 233 Ellis Parkway, the Skyway. I couldn't help but notice last meeting that as a result of the recent change in the way the council meetings are structured, the total amount of time that members of the public are allotted to speak on non-consent agenda items has been effectively cut in half. Now, the council president assured everyone that this was not the purpose nor the intent of the restructuring of the council meetings, and I take her at her word. Nevertheless, whether intended or not, the fact that remains is that speaking time has been cut in half. And therefore, the question remains whether the council is happy with this unintended consequence of our actions. If, in fact, the council is in favor of public speaking time being reduced, then no further action is necessary. It's already been done. If, on the other hand, the council is in favor of affording the same amount of time to members of the public that they previously had, then I would suggest that the problem would be easily solved by removing the restriction on the first public comment section on the agenda that limits the comment to consent agenda items. I think that would be close enough to the previous state of affairs to be a satisfactory outcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Gina Alexander of 115 Leader Drive. I just want to bring to the council's attention that prior to my standing to give my statement, the same gentleman that just spoke before me told me that I could not speak, and that it was now question and answer time. in an attempt to intimidate me from speaking to my counsel. So I just want to say that I have not noticed that there has been no shortened time of anyone allowed to speak, and that usually when we do come up to the podium, you give us grace and you allow us to speak. You don't get laughter, you don't get mimicking, you don't get backlash from the audience. Sweet. So this is the first time that I've come to a council session where I've gotten this kind of treatment, but then I understand. Again, I applaud my council, I applaud my leadership, I applaud Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think she needs a lesson in not being rude. I was standing in line waiting my turn. She just walked in front of me. But at any rate, I'd just like to ask a question. May I ask a question about number R on 14, the first part of the meeting? Thank you. Who did the bid go to for that resolution?
So the bid is out. It went out on the street on the 6th of February, and EP requires it to be up for a certain amount of time, and then we got a holiday in there and a day after holiday, so they're due back to us on the 26th. So on the 26th, they'll find the bidding. The auction ends at 11 a.m. on that day, and they will execute the contract that day.
On the 26th.
26th.
All right. And thank you for that. And does that still involve production of electricity through wind and solar?
Yeah, it's got a minimum of 30%, and we'll also have a 50% alternative and a 100% alternative that people could buy also.
Okay, and when do you intend to send something out to the public to allow them to sign up for?
What it is going to be is that everybody will be getting a notice probably right around the 26th. The BPU has to approve all the publications that go out. It's been a form letter that goes out informing the public what's going on, and that goes to each of the residents that has a meter. And then after we award the contract, then the third party that gets the contract will send an opt-out letter, generally probably about the 7th to 10th of March, and that gives people 30 days to opt out. Everybody will be included in unless you opt out. And if you decide at a later date to opt out, you still will be able to opt out. So, but the initial opt out is for a 30 day period, and we're looking to capture this for probably the May meter reading, so it'll be reflected in the June bill.
And will the township of Piscataway, for its own needs, be using any of the electricity?
Yeah, we already do.
How much? What percent?
Right now we're at 25%.
And will it go up?
We could look at doing it the next time we bid. This bid will not include the municipal. This is only for residential and small commercial.
When might the township decide to increase its usage of renewable sources?
We'll look at it when we're preparing our specs next time.
Next meeting?
We're currently in a contract. We awarded the contract last fall. So when that contract nears, generally you start looking at about 6 months out from the expiration of the contract.
So next fall?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wright.
Doesn't the contract be approved by the Board of Public Utilities?
Yeah, all of us gets approved by the Board of Public Utilities.
My name is Costas Eftimios. I live at 58 Curtis. We have these talks about ordinance and violations. Township is not enforcing these ordinance violations. And when we go to this office making a complaint, we are met with a very apprehensive attitude. It's not right. I mean, there are lots in Piscataway that are drastically needing attention by property maintenance people, and it's not happening. We need your help. Please, help us.
Thank you, sir.
Stacy Berger, Ellis Parkway. So can you please read the resolution that has the community center fees? Because I think the whole town is watching and would like to really know. Can you read that, Council President? Is that possible? Okay, but is there some reason why we can't know now? Like, is it a secret somewhere?
I don't think the fees are actually listed.
Oh, you said that the fees would be, that was what you just said.
We just approved the resolution to accept the fee schedule from the Y, and we are going to post it to the public, I think, on Thursday.
So does the ordinance that you approved not include the fee schedule?
What is
your
approving?
Like, can you read the fees into the record so everybody knows now?
Council President, you don't have to read the fees.
Well, she doesn't, but I'm asking if she can. You want 3 minutes, Mr. Mayor? You can have them too.
We're going to publicize. There's nothing hidden here. There's a fee schedule given by to the Y. I can appreciate why you're asking us to do that now, Ms. Berger, but we made a plan and said, and we kept to it from our last meeting, saying that it would be around this time that we would publish them.
Right, so in your hand, are you holding the fee schedule?
Yes.
Yeah. So can you just read it so people know?
Council President, you know, don't read it.
Because
am I crazy?
Like, well, why is it such a big deal?
Right, like, Ms. Berger.
Ms. Cahill.
We're asking for help.
I am telling you now that we are going to have it posted this week. The public will be able to read this. It'll be everywhere for them to see. I think that everyone will be pleasantly surprised. I'm not sure what the intent it is that you have for me to read it tonight, but I'm not.
So
everyone wants to know.
Everybody wants to know.
Yeah. I want it to be public.
Okay, so she's not going to read it. That's fine. So my next thing I am going to read, though. Okay. Yeah, the thing I am going to read. Is the statement from the township's attorney.
Just keep it down. Let's see.
February 18th, almost 3 years, 4 years exactly to the day, Councilman Khan. The township of Piscataway, quote, has entered into a tentative settlement of its affordable housing obligations with the parties to the litigation, which is Fair Share Housing Center, which the township itself proactively filed with the Superior Court, said James Clark III, the attorney for Piscataway. The proposed settlement will be reviewed by a Superior Court judge next month. Clarkin said, and I quote, the township is proud that it has met all of its affordable housing obligations in the past, and it is hopeful the proposed settlement will be approved. So are you saying you're going to bail on the proposed settlement that you asked for by building a warehouse? Because you asked me, and I'm asking the mayor, the business administrator, your 25 attorneys.
You're done with your speech, and now I answer
your question. My question is very simple. Are you going to build the 600 homes that were supposed to be built where you're building the warehouse somewhere else, or are you going to bail on the proposal? I'm aware. That's council and affordable housing for folks who don't know what that means. So you're going to build the 600. You're going to build those 600 units somewhere else and a warehouse.
It's not 600 units.
I'm sorry. Did he say 600 units? Like the whole time I was up here last time, he said 600 units. You said it. It's on videotape. Thanks, Syed.
No, it's not 600 affordable housing units.
I know what it is.
That site.
Because you have inclusionary zoning, which allows the developer to do way more housing than they need to.
Are you done?
I don't know, am I?
I don't know.
It's hard to tell. You keep interrupting.
Council President, can we move on?
And I'll clarify what's actually the case.
She's got her time. Reclaim my time. You said, you asked me very specifically, Council McCon, if I wanted the warehouse or the homes built. And I said, Council President, could you ask him to please stop commenting while I'm talking? It's very hard. I can't tell if he's asking me a question or.
Why don't you make your statement?
I'm trying. He keeps asking me questions. And then when I. I'm trying. It's.
Please go ahead.
Okay. This council and this mayor and the attorneys who are in the back of the room, I believe, made a commitment to the court that you were going to build all of the homes in the settlement. If you build this warehouse there, you have to relocate those homes somewhere else. On top of that, you increase your fair share housing obligation because the obligation is based on the number of jobs that you create. I'm sorry it's boring, Councilor, but it's true. The question I have for the council is whether you're aware of that and where you're going to build the homes that are now not going to be built there instead. Councilman Khan asked me whether I wanted the warehouse for the homes. And my question back to you is, are you going to break your agreement with the court so you get sued and then we all have to pay more taxes because now we have legal bills we didn't have before?
Thank you, Ms. Berger. Your 3 minutes are up.
I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not. You say that, you lie, Councilman Khan. You just lie. It's really.
The way I use that word is
Ms. Berner.
I do not sue anybody, and you tell people Berner, that.
I've given you actual time.
I appreciate that, but he's lying, so can you ask him to stop?
You stated that.
I know,
so
it's true.
Why don't you let Mr. Grubbs, who looks like he's about to make his way up here,
speak? I'm happy to do that, but I would like Councilman Khan to stop telling untruths. It's really just, it's not a good look.
I have really fed up with you making accusations that have absolutely no factual basis.
Have I sued this township at all? Except for when you tried to violate my Open Public Meetings Act rights by not allowing me to videotape, which turned out you were wrong.
Yes.
But you keep talking to me.
But you keep talking to me, so I mean I have a right to respond and defend myself. Yeah, you don't have the right as a public official. You don't have the right as a public official to make ad hominem attacks against me from the dais. That is unethical and improper.
Ms. Berger, thank you. I appreciate your time. I'm going to let Mr. Grubbs have his.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Tell him to be quiet.
Tell him to be quiet.
Wow.
I need to know, first of all, about the parking on South 2nd, real quick. Then I'll get to what I want to talk about. The parking, you said, on South 2nd.
Yes.
It just made an ordinance, you said.
That's for the next meeting. The traffic, as I answered before, the traffic department is still working on it. The meeting is 3 weeks from now. We'll have it before the meeting. We just listed on the agenda because the traffic department asked us to.
Okay, so what I'm asking you, are you referring to the houses that's on the right-hand side of the street? Where do they park? In the driveway, I assume, but
yeah.
You're going to tell them they can't park on that street at all?
Council President, if I may, several of the houses have parking behind them in the flats.
That's where they're technically supposed to be parked.
And yeah, I agree. That's the flats, but there's six houses from the flats going toward Rock Avenue, Mayor.
Yeah.
The six houses that goes from the flats to Rock Avenue. You're telling them they can't park either on the street, correct?
I think there's no parking now,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It
yeah,
might be missing a sign.
When they
it may
there,
be
there's no
a
parking
sign.
At any time, and it's a concern, is it? The neighbors, like for instance, he was working on his house 3 months ago, and he had to put his little trailer in front of his house, and he got ticketed. I'm quite sure when he ran the plate, he came back to his house.
Mayor, Council, I think I'm looking at just the police department's recommendation. I am not looking at the ordinance, so I think it's conditional to my review of that. But I think this is just amending the street name, because I think the street name on the ordinance is not actually changing the parking, the prohibited parking lights. But I'll confirm that once I review the ordinance.
So essentially, where they cannot park now is just staying the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
What was the other item, Mr. Grubbs?
ISS items. I need to know where are we with the coyote catcher. To my business administrator.
All the complaints that you gave me, we passed on to the police, and the police have passed on to the state.
So what, as I speak to you today, have we captured you? Yes, no, maybe so.
Not as far as I know. We also haven't received any complaints in probably the last 6 weeks.
Can you find out? Did we capture?
No.
For the next week. What is it? I know you told me Hazel was going to get redone. Approximate time?
Council President, if I may, Mr. Herrera's received the proposals for the engineering to. So at some point, Curtis will be on the agenda here to have an award contract to an engineering firm to start the engineering.
So that'll probably be on for within the next 2 or 3 months? Yeah.
On a more serious note now,
yeah.
I need to know what is law or what is protocol when you have a police chase at the scaffold.
Good question.
units?
The
very complicated legal
Attorney general, why, the county prosecutor has guidelines. So.
The attorney general
attorney
and the
general
county prosecutor
has a book on it.
Well, let me explain my situation, then maybe at the next meeting you can give me a more clarified answer. On Friday, I wasn't home. I was told that I was working my attention.
And the stop sign's already been put back up.
Yeah. Thank you, Curtis. I don't think someone would have put it back up if I didn't call. There was a police chase from 4th Street down Hazelwood. The gentleman, I don't know, stolen car, whatever. Anyway, he ran down Hazelwood, tried to take the corner at 3rd and missed, and removed the stop sign that's just in front of my house. I also want to know who's going to pay for the camera lawn that he destroyed. Now, the issue I have is this was done by Benelli. Police. I have a witness that saw this. He was going down Hazelwood and he saw the car coming at a high rate of speed and he pulled over by the park. 2 minutes later, he saw Denellen coming with his lights on and stayed there. So I assume he posted to tell the scatterway or do something with the scatterway.
Mr. Grubbs, your time is up, but what I'm going to suggest is that maybe Mr. Dacey take some information down. Maybe we can pass that on to our
what
chief.
You should do is you should file a police report.
Done.
Okay, and then take that police report and turn it into your homeowner's insurance for your coverage. And then they will probably but they will subrogate against the driver.
Right.
If they catch the driver.
And they so what I want to know is it, what I need to know is it law that they supposed to require to tell the scatterway that they're doing this? Yes or no? That's easy. I think it is. But with it, even on that, I appreciate the 2 minutes you're going to give me. Why is it that
Mr. Grubbs, I have to be fair to everyone else who I cut off.
You can be fair. You can be fair. I'm just going to have the time myself and everything.
Okay.
But I
thank
appreciate
you,
the little
Grubbs.
Time you gave me.
I appreciate it.
I'll finish it at the next
meeting. Okay. Anyone else in the public wishing to speak may do so at this time. Please come to the podium and note that you have 3 minutes in which to speak. Please state your name and address. Thank you.
Hi, Laura Lee Woods, 102 Stratton Street South. I'm here because I'd like an update on what is happening with our symbols for winter holidays for the township of Piscataway. I know it is something that we were not able to get to in a timely manner during the holiday season, but we certainly have plenty of time now to think about a public menorah, a public kinara, symbol for Chinese New Year, and those type of symbols to acknowledge the broad and wonderful diversity of Piscataway. Do we have any update on that?
There's no update at this time, Ms. Leibowitz, but we certainly will be discussing it, and with the wonderful community center coming, we certainly plan to do a little bit more around that.
Thank you. My second point that I'd like to bring to our attention is really just a matter of communication. I think on your end, you certainly are very uncomfortable with this dialogue because it's not really a dialogue. If we come here, we speak, you listen, but it's not really an open and comfortable forum for conversation. Many of the committees that could address the very contentious and most important issues to the people of Piscataway, those commissions don't meet, they meet as needed, their members are not listed. And so this type of constant contentious situation is set up. This is not working for you. It's not working for our township, for its residents. And so I would suggest that you take ownership and creativity and look to yourselves, to other people. You certainly network with many townships around the state, county, country, and see what are ways that we can move forward to communicate openly, honestly, and have a dialogue that's not just a speak, a dais, and nothing. In terms of social media, you know, Facebook and Twitter, again, that's very one-sided. It's not a conversation. And so I would really encourage the council moving forward into the 21st century to really expand and examine your opportunities for fair, open, transparent, and honest dialogue with your members. Thank you.
Thank you. May do so at this time. Please come to the podium, state your name, and note that you have 3 minutes in which to speak.
Stephanie Wiles, 2250 Plainfield Avenue North. Wondering if you ever have thought about holding town halls and actually having a dialogue with people. Because it amazes me, and all the time I've come here, that I've never seen one of you vote no on anything that is brought before the council. If it's taken up, it is unanimous. Yeah. I'm not saying it never happened.
We don't always all agree.
Well,
you can't see it on the camera. It's
every time I've been here, which has been a number, I've never seen it happen. Which kind of seems like things are pre-planned and the public really gets no input into this. Other than elections, which are machine politics, it really does not seem very democratic. So at least town halls where you actually interacted with the public, with people you disagree with, and actually could have a reasonable conversation rather than this very adversarial arrangement you set up, might make some sense.
I appreciate that. I just do want to comment. We did not set up an adversarial site. I know it may seem to you, but we did not set that up, and everything that we do is in the public and is published. And this council has in the past had many town halls. I just want to set that record straight. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't want to argue about it.
No, I'm just asking, when was the last town hall, and how do you publish
it? There'll be a River Road town halls and stuff about River Road.
I've never seen anything. It's, you know, and I pay a little bit of attention.
We had a town hall on the park, the land that was preserved. We had a town hall on that. So, in fact, it does happen.
One a year?
Whatever, Mr. Wilde. Well, it's not that it does not happen. Please come to the podium, state your name and address, and note that you have 3 minutes in which to speak.
Loretta Gray, 318 Rivercrest Drive, Scadlet. Several times you've mentioned that the prices, the fees for the YMCA are going to be posted, but you never said where.
Are we going to put them up on the township website?
They'll be on,
in the libraries?
Libraries, on Facebook.
We'll put it here and on Facebook. And then I think, we're going to send something out to the residents upon opening or something like that to talk about? We'll do some sort of mailing.
We're going to have three Saturdays, the end of March, and two in April here where we're doing job fairs and accept membership applications at the council chambers on Saturdays. As we get closer to the opening, when I can get a PCO to get extra employees into the building, the Wild will be some signing up in the probably the foyer area. They have hired a facilities manager, and the Y's got interviews next week for an executive director. Once you get the executive director on board, then he or she will become very involved with us.
Right. So then what you're saying, though, is that next week on our township,
at the end of this
webpage,
week,
it'll have the...
Yeah, it'll be there. It'll be posted in the libraries. And also, too, I think the Y has made it so that Piscataway residents will have an opportunity for a period of time to come to the community center for free on Wednesdays and Sundays, something like to that. And that will be up there. That information will be up there, too. So, you know, to encourage people to come try it out and then want to join.
Okay. Can I ask, why is YMCA, is that a non-profit organization?
Yes.
As far as I know,
it is a non-profit.
And the rates will also be in the March newsletter, the spring newsletter.
Right, in the newsletter.
Later around 16th of March.
And I'm not sure, Ms. Gray, if you heard that there's going to be three Saturdays where they'll have, where you can become a member, but you could also apply if you'd like to work at the Y, too.
And then the other question I had is,
So there's been a lot of talk about this warehouse. So if those affordable housing units are not going to be built on that old New Brunswick Road because the warehouse is going there instead, where are the affordable housing units going
They will
to
be, we will always meet our co-obligation. This township has and will continue to abide by its commitment that every town here in the state of New Jersey must, or else they'll, I guess, be sued or fined or whatever the case may be. And but they're sprinkled throughout many different apartment complexes in the town. To give you a specific location, I'm not going to tell you because we wouldn't know until somebody decides they have land where they can develop apartments or as properties become available, but we will always meet our obligation.
It's not 600
units.
So this is not a building that the township will be hiring somebody to build?
No, the township doesn't build anything. We didn't build warehouses. We don't build.
Well, you have a developer get them interested in coming and building a building. It doesn't work like that.
It's somebody else's property.
They're out marketing that property based upon zoning, and that's how that works. And that property originally, the owner had 600 units he was going to build with mixed retail. We were all very much in favor of that. And it didn't work out for him. It did not become viable for an owner of a property who owned it from the 80s who had to remediate the land up to standard. And so this use is a very good use. I know that there is a segment of people who don't agree with that, but there are also other residents in this town who do appreciate the fact that by having businesses, including this kind of logistics office, will help. And I do believe that there was a statement made about some of the money not being eligible to go to the schools, but correct me if I'm wrong, the school will get some of that money.
Do you have a certain time period where you have to meet this obligation for these affordable housing?
I know within a certain amount of years you have to do it. We're in concurrent compliance.
We have more than enough units
right now
in our affordable housing plan, which was approved.
And for the next 10 years.
Yeah. Now, out of that 600 homes, and I don't want to misstate the number, but it's a percentage. It might be 10% toward the 600. So 20%. So we have more than enough affordable housing units in our master plan.
And it's good, Councilman, for the next 10 years. Our plan, what we have now, keeps us compliant for at least the next 10 years, I believe. So what council has done in the past, if I may, is we've always looked ahead, again, that use originally planned there, we're like, good, we're going to be good for X amount of years. Somebody's making developing apartments. Then we're compliant. We will never not be in compliance.
Do already existing apartment houses, buildings, have to give over some of their units to affordable housing? You know, like, I see what you're saying with brand new ones that are being built, a certain percentage has to go. But what about existing ones?
No.
Do you have to do that in order to meet the...
We do not have to force that.
So you're just anticipating that there will be enough builders?
We're in compliance, and we are for at least the next 10 years.
We have a master plan, and I can't take the details, but we got more than enough to cover us for the next decade, probably beyond.
Ms. Gray, your 3 minutes are up. Okay. Thank you very much. Anyone else in the public wishing to comment may do so at this time. Please come to the podium, state your name and address, and note that you have 3 minutes in which to speak. Seeing none, I'm closing the public portion.
Council President, if I, Council President, very brief comments.
This is not on the agenda. You do this every time. Can we get the audience under control?
Just as a genesis of the piece of property in question, those of us who were born and raised in this community
Or you only hear us.
I'm sorry, folks. I think there's some people in it having an argument back there. I just want to talk about the genesis of that particular property.
The site in question has been zoned light industrial for over 70 years. 70 years. For those of us that grew up in the community, it used to be the old Union Steel fabrication site. Obviously, that company went under, obviously, with the fabrication of steel leaving the U.S., so to speak, back in the early 70s, has remained dormant, a light industrial site, for a number of years. Obviously, it was a brownfield site, contaminated site, that has now been cleaned up by the prior owner. It was zoned for part of our COA housing there, but you know that didn't work out. And warehousing and logistics center was always a permitted use on that site. And all of our zoning throughout our community, where there's light industrial or commercial, warehouses are permitted and have been permitted for more than 60 years in our community. So to have some folks out here to suggest that we shouldn't allow that means that we would condemn that property. Now, if we condemn property,
like the park that somebody that's
right,
mentioned,
you're talking $50+ million that the town would have to shell out because you would be basically condemning the property. I know that there's some folks that are upset about it. Well, that's their prerogative, but I would like to also reiterate that there's going to be a lot of infrastructure improvements that are going to come along. We're going to get several $1 million worth of roadway and safety improvements out there. It'll be a true four-way intersection. There'll be curbs and sidewalks on both sides of Old New Brunswick Road and on Roma Boulevard right out there. They're going to do an ancillary on the bridge.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot of safety improvements that are going to be out there that haven't been out there in the past that the local taxpayers are not going to have to pick up. And by the way, as you said, Council President, before, there may be some job availability out there, whatever new company that may or may move into that site. So to have some people get up there and say, well, we're permitting all this stuff. Well, if you're telling a property owner that has been property that's been zoned that way for 60 plus years, that they now can't develop their property in accordance with the zoning guidelines of the town, you're condemning the property, which means the government has to pay for it. Which I disagree. I would never suggest that this council go in and condemn that property and pay $50 million of taxpayers' money. We have a lot of roads and infrastructure that needs to be fixed within this community, and I think this was a wise decision by the council to do this. And I get it that there's some housing advocates here that are upset about this because there's not going to be 600 apartments there.
But
you know,
you can't
but
have it both ways. You can't say it's 600 units and then not 600 units.
Man, let the man finish. All right, we're going to finish this up because Ms. Berger loves me to move to that.
We're
On the agenda, so nobody can answer
that. I'm a breathing
acid. Good job. Thank you.